What is true faith? What is real faith? It's the question that we want to search out this afternoon. And a summary of the Bible's teaching on true faith can be found in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. And you'll find that in the back of your songbooks, page 875. Page 875. We may assume that we know what faith is, but this is not a matter of assumption. This is a matter of knowing. As we study the quest for salvation, we've seen our need for a mediator, and then the kind of mediator we need, and then the fact that God provided such a mediator, and then fourthly, where he's found. He's found in the gospel, which is all of Scripture. And now how we receive him. How do you get linked to the mediator? And the answer is faith is that link. Lord's Day 7, question 20. Are all people then saved through Christ, just as they were lost through Adam? No. Only those are saved who, through true faith, are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. What is true faith or real faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in his word. It is also a wholehearted trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel that God has freely granted not only to others but to me also forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness and salvation. These gifts are purely of grace. Only because of Christ's merit. What then must a Christian believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, a summary of which is taught us in the articles of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith, and there follow the articles of the Apostles' Creed. We hope to focus next time on 22 and 23, and this time on 20 and 21 with God's help. May he bless us. Let's read of faith in John 6, page 1657, page 1657, John 6, verse 25. This is after the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, a great miracle. 5,000 men plus women and children, the Lord Jesus fed them there in a green spot in the desert, and they ate. And they had their fill, remember? And there were leftovers. It was amazing. Miracle. And then he went away, and the crowds, they wanted to stay with him, and they pursued him, and they found him. And that's where we're at here, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, And I will raise him up at the last day. Whoever looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and lives. People of God, faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. It's putting your confidence in someone or something. And if you put your confidence in the wrong thing, in something unreliable, it could wreck your life. Especially if you're venturing your whole life on that something. And it turns out to be the wrong thing or the wrong person. On the other hand, if you put your confidence in something true and eternally reliable, faith will save your life. Or the thing you trust in will save your life. This is an extremely important question. What is true faith? It's a life and death matter. And we think too little about it. But what's the good of knowing the mediator, Jesus, if you don't trust in him? You can know your need of him. You can know who he is. You can know the Bible. But if you don't venture out and depend on him with your whole life, you will not be saved. Imagine driving your car across a bridge. That's an act of faith, right? To drive your car across a bridge. Not faith at an ultimate level, but at a lower level. If you put your confidence in a poor and unreliable bridge, you may well end up dead in the ravine below. But if you put your confidence in a good and reliable bridge, you can fully expect to arrive alive on the other side. And it's true of your physical life. How much more true is this in eternal matters relating to your whole life, body and soul, now and after you die? Don't you want to make sure you venture out on a reliable bridge? Because that's what mediator means. Jesus is our bridge from sin and hell and damnation to God and life and blessing forever. And if you put your life on the wrong bridge, you will fall dead in the hell below. So that's my question for you today. Are you walking across a bridge that cannot support your eternal well-being and will lead your life down to destruction? Or are you leaning the weight of your whole life on a bridge that's absolutely reliable for this life and for eternity and take you all the way across to God? And so that's the difference between real faith and fake faith. True faith and false faith. True faith places confidence in an ultimately reliable source for life. Well, false faith places confidence in on an unreliable source for life. So we want to get to the heart of real faith by God's grace this afternoon. First, why faith is important. Secondly, what it is. And then what faith believes. Which leads us really into the next sermon, what faith believes. So we'll just begin that part. But why faith is important, first of all. We read that in John 6, verse 40, why faith is important. Do you remember that? John 6, verse 40. Whoever looks to the Son and believes in him, has faith in him, shall have eternal life, said Jesus, and I will raise him up at the last day. It reminds us of John 3, 16. Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And there you see the crucial importance of real faith. Faith in Jesus. If you want to be saved from your sin, if you want to be saved from death and from God's judgment, you must believe in Jesus Christ and put all your confidence in him only. The whole weight of your body and soul, your life now and after you die, you must put the whole weight of your life, your whole confidence in Jesus alone. That's the way to not perishing. That's the way, the only way to eternal life. And that's why this is an absolutely important matter. What or who you believe in determines the eternal outcome of your life. Again, if you're resting the weight of your never dying soul on something that's not reliable, no matter how popular that road might be, no matter how impressive it looks, no matter how persuasive that thing might be, or how pedigreed it is. So many have tried it. Or no matter how good it makes you feel. But it makes me feel so good to try this. If you rest the weight of your never dying life upon something that's not good enough, it will not save you. If what you're believing in for your life cannot pay for your sin, cannot make you right with God, it's false faith because it can't solve the deepest problems, the real problems of your life. Brothers and sisters, it's not how strong your faith is that really matters. It's not how strong your faith is that matters. It's how strong the thing is that you're putting your faith in. I can have a really strong faith that broken bridge is going to get my truck across. But that's a foolish faith. It's an unreasonable faith. No matter how sincere it is, no matter how convinced I am. So like faith in the Quran, I can be really convinced and have a really strong faith that the Quran can take me to God, take me to the other side. But that's a false faith because Allah provides no payment for your sin. You're on your own to pay an infinite debt you cannot possibly pay. That cannot work. You might have a real strong faith in science to solve the problems of life. That's a false faith because though science can improve some things about our lives here on earth, it can't remedy the incurable disease of sin. It can't remove God's judgment from my life. It can't make atonement for me with God. And so it's a false faith. Or I might have a very sincere and strong faith in myself and my own strength and talent and accomplishments. But that's a false faith. Because no matter how sincere it is, it can't rescue me when Alzheimer's sets in. My career or my self-esteem can't pay for my sins. It can't remove my lust. It can't remove my anger problems and my non-forgiveness. Or I can put faith in my possessions, that my possessions will fill my life with meaning and joy. But that's a false faith because my house and my clothing and stuff can't fill the God-shaped void in my heart. Only Jesus can fill that. It can't heal a broken heart. Only Jesus can do that. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ will be saved because only Jesus Christ is sufficient. And that's why the issue of real faith is so important, because if you put your faith in the wrong thing, no matter how strong and sincere that faith is, that wrong thing will break and destroy you. On the other hand, if you put your faith in the right thing, the right person, even if that faith is weak, I will be saved because I'm trusting in the right one. Even though I can have a faith that wavers at times. When I have a weak faith in the right object, the strong object, it's a reasonable faith, it's a saving faith, it's a sound faith. And that's what we've been learning about, our mediator, why we need a mediator, because we owe God an eternal punishment we can't pay. Which led us to ask, well then what kind of a mediator do we need? Well, one who can take our place and be a real man, represent us. But at the other hand, somebody who's divinely powerful, it can handle the infinite weight of eternal punishment. He's got to be both fully God and fully man. And then we asked, well, is there such a one? Yes, God has given such a mediator to sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who became a human being to stand in our place and paid for our sins with his precious blood and rose again in divine power on the third day. He's the one. And then we asked, well, where can we find him? Here in the gospel. It's found all of scripture. But finally, all this cannot do you any good, brothers and sisters, unless you believe in him. Unless you trust in him and lean the whole weight of your life upon him and walk upon him as your bridge to God, as your way to forgiveness and life and peace and happiness in heaven. And there's no other way to be saved. And that's what we read in question and answer 20. Only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. If you don't, you remain in your sin. You remain under God's wrath. And you have no way of escape except through Jesus Christ, who said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And I want to emphasize this. Faith in Jesus is the only way, because some people teach that there are those who never heard the gospel, but if they try their best with what they've got and are honest, if they're noble people, they can still receive mercy and be saved. No. Evangelism and missions are crucially important, because the only way a sinner can be saved is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and raised for sinners, and to believe the message and put his faith, her faith in this Jesus, and what Jesus has done for him. We've got to get the message of Jesus out. Because how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone be sent? Romans 10. So faith is important. It's absolutely important. But let's look next at what it is. Let's probe a little bit more into this issue of what it means to put confidence in Jesus as the true and only bridge to God. What faith is. Faith in Jesus. Not all faith in Jesus is what it says it is. There is fake faith in Jesus. That's what we met in John 6. Jesus always challenged the kind of faith people had in him when it wasn't real faith. He said to the crowds who were following him after they ate the loaves and the fish and had their fill, "You follow me because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You're looking for food, not salvation. You see me just as a miracle man who can snap his fingers and fill your fridges and tummies. And that's what you think I'm about." And Jesus rebuked that kind of faith because it's not real. It's not true faith. True faith looks for much more from him. Jesus said that in verse 27. John 6, 27. "Don't work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life." You're looking for me to save you through the kind of manna that Moses got. Bread. Earthly physical bread. And if I've got my tummies filled with yummies, everything is good. Don't work for food that perishes, but look for a different kind of food that endures to eternal life. What is that food? Verse 35, he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Verse 33. And then he said, "Who that bread is? I am the bread of life." Not physical bread, but me, Jesus Christ. I'm the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. And if you just jump ahead a few verses to what it means that Jesus is the bread of life, look at verse 48. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life" again. Verse 48. And then jump ahead to verse 51. He explained what he meant. "The bread I give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now you see where he's going. Faith believes that Jesus gave his life, body and soul, as a punishment for sin. He's bred in that way so that I could trust in him, be saved for my sin and have eternal life. That's what faith in Jesus, real faith in Jesus, is about. To believe in Jesus is not to see him as a miracle man or a magical man or a money man who just pampers your life with earthly comforts and health and wealth. That's not faith. That's just plain old selfishness, looking for more of yourself and hoping Jesus will give you more of you. Asking Jesus to support your idolatry. "I love food, Jesus, give me food." But sadly for many, faith in Jesus is just that. That fake and shallow faith that Jesus met after feeding the 5,000. Viewing him as a Santa Claus, a sugar daddy, who gives us all kinds of presents so we'll like him better. And then we're not seeing him as a bridge who takes me, a damned sinner, out of my sin and misery, takes away my sin, takes me back to God and reconciles me to him. That's what faith is, resting in this mediator. And to believe in him is to depend on him as the bread of life. As one who will give his flesh for the life of the world. It means that you know, first of all, yourself as a sinner. You're not right with God. You're under his wrath. There's no way you can make things right with God in your own strength. You can't pay for your sin. You can't satisfy God's justice. You see, first of all, you've got this problem and you need a bridge. And so you give up on yourself, secondly, in your own righteousness, in your own piety, in your own talents, and your own background and accomplishments. And you look to Jesus and you depend upon him alone and his accomplishments for all your righteousness so you can be right with God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him. In him. That's what it is to believe in him. And thirdly, then you cling to him for the rest of your life, day after day. Some think that to start my salvation, I need to believe in Jesus. But then to keep going with it, I need to work hard. And that's the way I stay saved. I need to work hard for him. No. Of course we want to work hard for him. We love him who first loved us. But that's not going to keep, it's not going to save us in the first place. It's not going to keep us saved. We need to keep eating this bread of life. Day after day, he's our only righteousness. He's the only reason God loves us. We must keep walking on this bridge called Jesus. His finished work for our salvation. His forgiveness. We must keep walking on this bridge the whole way to the other side. And that's faith. Seeing that you're far away from God. There's no way to get back to him on your own. You see, he is your mediator. The bridge God sent to you because he loved you so much. God built this bridge, Jesus. And you step on it knowing that he's the way, the truth, and the life. You put confidence in him. But let me take a moment to unpack something here about real faith. What real faith is. Because this plagues a lot of believers. Faith, in order to be real, does not have to be perfect faith. Just real faith. Just real dependence on Jesus Christ. Really giving up on yourself. Really seeing that Jesus is the answer. Really resting, trusting in him. Even though sometimes we waver and we're of little faith. You might say, well, I'm not sure my faith is real because sometimes, you know, I'm on this bridge of Jesus and I have times of doubt. Well, the issue is not, do you ever have doubts? But do you trust enough to walk on that bridge, to be on that now? And you know, the further you walk and test that bridge, the more your doubts will be answered, the more assurance, the more confidence you'll enjoy. But you stepped on that bridge because God, by his grace, created faith in your heart and mind. And you saw that Jesus was the only way to go and you went, like Abraham, not knowing exactly where that was going to lead. Or you might say, I'm on the bridge, but I'm not always thankful for that bridge as I ought to be. Sometimes I take it for granted. Well, you are called to praise the Lord for providing that bridge. But just because you aren't always as thankful as you should be doesn't mean you're not on the bridge. Doesn't mean that you don't have faith. It just means your faith isn't always as thankful as it should be. And then faith goes to God and says, give me more thanksgiving. Here's another way that weak faith can trouble us. God loved me so much that he sent me this bridge. And Jesus loved me so much that he became this bridge so I could go to heaven on his back, on the back of his pain and suffering and damnation in my place. But I don't nearly love him as he commanded me to. Do I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind? No, I don't. I don't trust him. I don't love him as I ought, as he commands me to. Only Jesus ever trusted God or loved God that much. And we never love our fellow travelers either on the bridge as we ought. Only Jesus loved his neighbor perfectly. But brothers and sisters, we need to confess that we don't love God as much as we should, with all the strength that we should. And we don't love our neighbor as ourselves as we should. And we need to pray for more love. But not loving him enough does not throw you off the bridge. In fact, it's one of the evidences of faith that I see that about myself and want more of that love. And so I'm seeing him as the reliable source of my salvation. Or we might say, I believe in Jesus as the Bible reveals him, but I still have many questions about the Bible, many things I don't understand yet, many things that don't make sense to me. Can my faith be real? Well, even Peter says that some things Paul says are hard to understand. But it's one thing to say that I think the Bible is false. And another to say, I believe in Jesus because the Bible tells me so, even though there's a lot that I still don't get. And I pray that God will make it more clear over time. Paul says that to the Philippians in chapter 3. All of us who are mature should think this way, he says, about a particular teaching about pursuing the goal. All of us who are mature should think this way. And if anyone doesn't see it this way, God will make it more clear to you as you grow toward maturity. Just because you have certain questions about the Bible and it doesn't all make sense to you doesn't mean your faith isn't real. The question is, do you believe and the mediator revealed here enough to say, he's the one I need. I'm taking him. I'm trusting in him. There my sins are washed away. There my faith has found a resting place. There I know I am safe, even though I don't know exactly what the future holds. And I know he'll take me the whole way. And the questions I have, maybe some of them will get answered along the way. So that's the challenge, brothers and sisters. Is your faith real? Is your faith in Jesus as your mediator who died for you to pay for your sins so you can be right with God and enjoy God as your Father? Or is your faith something else? Is it a faith in miracles like Jesus met in the crowd whom he fed with the loaves and the bread? They're looking him. They're following him for the sake of his miracles, but not for his own sake. They're putting their hope in his miracles, not in him. They're not looking for salvation from sin, but salvation from poverty or pain or Roman occupation. There are other ways to have false faith in Jesus. Some have faith in tradition rather than Jesus. Jesus constantly charged the Pharisees and scribes with trusting in their traditions, but their hearts were far from God. And that's always a problem in the church. Jesus is on the side. Our faith isn't focused on him at the center. But what's at the center for me is proper process, proper order, long-held traditions. And that will upset me more than anything else when I sense that those are being transgressed. But Jesus, I don't talk about so much. There's a place for church order, yes, and for structure and process. But do not commit the sin of the scribes and Pharisees, where the center of their faith was their own work and traditions of men. And when Jesus came along, they didn't put confidence in him. That's not what their faith was all about. Brothers and sisters, faith, true faith, is in a person named Jesus, crucified and risen for your salvation to bring you to God. As you trust him who's revealed in the Bible, make sure your confidence is in him alone. And that's what we see, thirdly, what faith believes. And we want to go there in the weeks to come, Lord willing, with question and answers 22 and 23. You know, faith believes in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But not just any version of Jesus we like, but this Jesus, revealed to us by God in all of the Bible. The one who was sent by the Father into the world and who poured out his Holy Spirit to give us faith and bring us to Jesus, who would bring us to God. So faith is stepping onto a bridge named Jesus, who carries us all the way to God, because I heard God tell me about this bridge in the Bible and I believed in him. So what must a Christian believe? He must believe in Jesus as the way to God because the Bible tells me so. Must believe in the God of the Bible, because that's the true story of salvation right here. I must accept and embrace that whole story as the truth that will save me and bring me to God. Well, do you have this faith? You can't give it to yourself. Pray for it. Pray the Holy Spirit will open your heart and your mind to Jesus. But also pray for your neighbor, that your neighbor might be linked to the true God who saves sinners through faith. Pray that God will open the heart and mind of your neighbor. Faith is an amazing gift of God by which we lean on Jesus Christ in confidence that he's the only way to God and he's the total way to God. And as we cross that bridge, we will discover an amazing and blessed life of forgiveness, joy, peace, love, and endless favor and fellowship with God. Let's trust in Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we need Christ. He's the only way you've given to us to come to you. We need faith to rest in Christ. May all the substitutes for faith perish from our lives. Give us the real thing. Even if it's as small as a mustard seed, give us the real thing and cause that to grow. We want our faith to grow. And there are those around us, Lord, whose hearts remain closed. Use the gospel also to open their hearts and minds, to plant the seed of faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, and cause that faith to grow too. So help us to honor you and your Son by resting with complete confidence on him who was given for sinners and raised again that we might be brought to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.